Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Welcome in, everybody, to a special nighttime edition of Birds 365 following the Eagles' first practice at training camp today. John McMullen joining the show was down there all day long at NovaCare, so he had a front, up-close, and personal look at everything you read about all day long, everything we talked about on the National Football Show, everything we talked about on our shows earlier today on the Jacob Sports Network. We are joined now by the source, Johnny Mack, who was down at training camp. Johnny Mack, how you doing? First day at camp. Set the stage for me. What was it like down there at the NovaCare today?
Humid. Humid.
I believe
it's like a soupy day. Overcast. The sun, of course, comes out at night. Mekhi Becton's throwing up. It was steamy.
Steamy day in July. Late July, Johnny Mac. Late July football, man. It's a steamy one down there. I'm sure it was.
Yeah, and that's tough on the big guys, but he got back. He got right back out there, and he was practicing because Landon Dickerson has a lacerated toe. So he got bumped up to the first team again, similar to mandatory minicamp when Landon was out for an excused absence. But so that kind of jumbled things on the offensive line. Brett Toth was also out, backup center. So Matt Hennessy kind of kicked over to center with the second team. Those were the injuries. Guys who started on the PUP list, Cooper DeJean, which was, I reported at SI last night that he was going to start on the NFI list, non-football injury, hurt his hamstring, working out, trying to get ready for training camp. And anytime you have those four guys, the last thing you want to mess with is hammies, because those things can linger. So the Eagles are going to take it cautious with Cooper. And that's big, because as a rookie, he needs as much work as possible. A lot of people projected him to push Avante Maddox for the starting slot job, and I was in that club. But 3 weeks without Cooper DeJean, if that's how long it takes, it's probably unlikely now that he'll be up to speed by week one. So maybe it pushes back the time frame. Sidney Brown, no surprise, obviously, still coming back from the ACL. He starts on the PUP list. So those are the bookkeeping things. And the offense was pretty good, pretty sharp. And that's a positive thing coming off the spring when it was not good. So right away, you get some positivity.
Yeah, good stuff to hear. The offense, by all accounts, from what I hear from you, from what I read today on Twitter, from everybody who was down there, many friends of Birds 365 who were down there, offense looked good. So some positive things there. You heard Johnny Mack's quick takeaways. John, before we get into what transpired today with the press conferences, the on-field work, Mekhi Becton throwing up, all sorts of that stuff, I want to ask you about Cooper DeJean. Obviously, the news broke last night. He's going to be out for about 3 weeks, they said, with a hamstring injury. What can you tell us about the injury? When I hear hamstring, Johnny Mack, I get nervous. I was a goalie in hockey growing up. That was like the dreaded injury that never left. You had it forever. It lingered. It's the dreaded injury. You don't like hearing about it. What do you know about Cooper DeJean's hamstring injury?
Well, and that's why the Eagles are playing it cautious, especially when you talk about a thoroughbred player, so to speak, and Cooper's a fast guy, runs a 4.4, you know, explosive guy, 38.5-inch vertical leap. Those are the guys you're really worried about. You don't worry about it as much with the bigger guys. You're at the risk of aggravating that thing again and again and again if you come back too quickly. So the Eagles want to make sure he's 100% before they get him back on the field. And they're probably going to be, as I said, a little bit extra cautious with it because of the type of player he is. And, he's going to be set back. And Nick Sirianni admitted that today. As a rookie, you do need maybe the reps a little bit more than a veteran player. And especially a rookie who you're projecting to have a role early in the season. So it's a hit, but when I reported it last night, I saw people losing their minds. It's not that serious. He's going to be out 3 weeks. That's what the Eagles' cautious approach is. So it's not terribly serious, but it probably backs you up 3-4 games in the regular season.
Do you know how it happened? Did they say how it happened? I hear NFI, which is a non-football injury, and you just start to wonder, like, what happened? Was it off season? Was it something he could have prevented?
I was working out. A non-football injury does not mean non-foot. It means you didn't get hurt under the auspices of your team.
Okay.
So it doesn't mean you got hurt doing something you weren't supposed to be doing or doing something not related to football. He was working out to get ready for training camp and he hurt his hamstring, but it's not at the Novacare complex. He's doing it on his own with his team. And that's what non-football injury means. You can get a non-football injury in a non-football injury, but I think because of the name of the list, all that, the only difference between NFI and PUP, Sidney Brown got hurt playing. If he got hurt in practice with the Eagles, he would have been put on the PUP list. If Cooper did this at the Novacare complex, he'd be on the PUP list. But he did it away from the Eagles, so it's just a categorization thing. So he goes on the NFI list. That's all it means.
Got it. So that's good. That's good news. I wasn't sure, to be honest with you, whether it was something that was – I don't know what you could be doing in the offseason where you would injure a hamstring, but good to know that. Hopefully, John, my one worry with that is, and, I know you say it might back you up 3-4 games, is he's a rookie, so he hasn't been through this. He's never been through an NFL training camp. This is a new defensive coordinator where you got to think the first 21 days of the training camp are the most important days, especially when you're installing defensive things and you're figuring out who you want to start and all of those different things. When you're a rookie, Am I overstating this? I think it's going to set him. I think he's going to be kind of playing catch up.
Maybe no, that's what I long. Said. Nick, yeah. Nick admitted it's going to. But one thing I want to address first is, you know, what are you doing in the off? Because I got a bunch of people that on social media, it's like, what do you think these guys are coming off the couch? Especially guys like Cooper DeJean. You see all these videos of Jalen Hurts working out with Saquon Barkley or A.J. Brown or some of the receivers and guys work. You can't go away from an NFL facility in the modern era and, you know, go on a bunch of vacations, especially as a defensive back. You know, there's certain positions. These guys are working out constantly. I mean, A.J. Brown is constantly working out year round. Not, you know, I mean, so number one, because I got a bunch of people who said, what, he's not even here yet. How's he get hurt? It's like, what do you mean, how's he get hurt? I just said he runs a 4.42. The guy's working out all the time. And again, if it were one of those instances when he was, you know, whether it's a tight end university or an offensive lineman working out with Lane Johnson at O-line Masterminds, guys get hurt all the time working out. So I think people are really misconstrued about this Cooper DeJean injury. But yeah, as I said, Nick admitted, yeah, it's a setback from the standpoint of getting him ready for week one as a potential starter. Long term, and Howie then jumped in, because Howie spoke to us today as well, and jumped in and said, you know, we're expecting to have this guy for a long time.
Yeah.
So if it's backed up 3-4 games, who cares in the long run, essentially?
Yeah, my fear is that he just plays, he's got to play a lot of catch up, and it's already a big load as a rookie coming in and expected to get some snaps, where obviously there's a major acclimation period. It's widely talked about across the league. And then you add in a 3-week injury at the very start of camp, definitely something that Cooper is going to have to battle. So hopefully he gets back healthy, you know, and everything works out good. John, I want to start on the press conferences today when we get into the events of today. Before I get into somebody specifically, what stood out to you? You spoke with Nick. You spoke with Howie. I thought that was interesting. They added Howie Roseman in at the last second. You spoke with Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, Darius Slay. Spoke. A couple other players spoke. What were your biggest takeaways from the comments that were made from the players? There's a lot of them being talked about.
Well, one from the standpoint of Howie, I asked Howie about the coordinators because that report came out about that he hired them, so he, you know, went through the process, kind of scuttled that thought and explained, you know, the collaborative process, but he's in charge of the personnel, essentially. Nick's in charge of the coaching staff, but they collaborate, which is understandable, I would say. And then Jalen Hurts and the Nick Sirianni relationship, and Jalen addressed that right away. Kind of cut off question, I think, from, I think it was Elliot who got the question off right away. And Nick spoke about it too, as well. And we knew that was coming because, hey, Jalen left it open-ended back in the spring for 6 weeks. So,
yeah,
I, you know, we talked, you and I have talked about it a lot. I think it's overblown to a certain extent. I mean, but, you know, I think Jalen was a little bit upset. He admitted basically there was a disconnect last season. I think maybe a little bit of it was the fact that, you know, he's very close to Brian Johnson and, you know, it takes some time to get over these things. And I thought Howie was very honest and said how difficult it is in the NFL because to have continuity, because he explained, look, if you win, you lose coaches. If you lose coaches.
Yeah.
You know, and to a certain degree, it's difficult to retain that continuity. You can do it at head coach, obviously, if you want to, but it's very difficult to do with the coordinators for a long, really long standard part of time. It happens, you know. Jim Johnson here, you know, really had no ambition at that point of his career to be a head coach, and was happy being a coordinator. Maybe have that same frame with Vic Fangio. We'll see how it works out. But, you know, if you remove the head coach, that might not work out. So it's a lot of things that go into it. Now he kind of explained that part of it, which is true.
Yeah, it was good stuff. What about the comments from Jalen Hurts, John? My first perspective or my first takeaways when I listened to Jalen Hurts today was sounded like more refreshed. He sounded confident. Now I know he doesn't change much, but I went back and I listened to some of his press conferences at OTAs, and he just sounded more upbeat. Not upbeat. I don't know if that's the right word, but he just sounded like he was confident, cool, collected. Knew what that was at stake coming into the year. I thought Jalen Hurts sounded great today. I really did. And I'm not just saying that. I thought he was great. And I thought, you know, that was the first time I think he's really taken a show of, you know, he really backed the organization. I believe in Lurie. I believe in Howie. I believe in Nick. And I thought it was good stuff from Jalen Hurts. What were your takeaways from his press conference today?
Yeah, I mean, clearly it was a sort of market correction type of press conference. And, you know, I'm sure everybody talked to him about why not taking the layup, so to speak, back in the spring was not a good thing. And it was pretty easy. And I think it'll be pretty easy moving forward. And he always talks about learning from mistakes. You know, maybe you just learn from that mistake. And, you know, but everybody's fired up day one. That's no surprise. A lot of optimism. And yeah, there should be. It's a talented team. But a lot of work to do if you want to reach. Last year's was a talented group. And a lot of things can go wrong in this league, but yeah, if you're not hyped up for day one, it's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough season.
Yeah, no, I knew. I just mean the whole aura of him. I get it. You're right. I mean, it is day one where you're going to be that jacked up. But coming off that 7-week stretch where everybody made everything of what he had to say last time, I thought it was a good showing from QB1. I liked how he backed his team. I liked how, you know, I thought he was a spokesman person for the Eagles a little bit there, more so than I've seen him in the past, which I think is maybe, you know, a nod to him taking on a more serious role as the leader of the team and as the main guy and all those things. Now, maybe I'm making too much of it, but that was just my takeaway from it. And I thought it was a positive thing without a doubt.
Yeah. Well, you know, you don't win with press conference. I never get excited by press conferences.
Me neither. I said that on the show this morning, but yeah, everybody was waiting to hear them, but yeah, based on, you know, the last one.
It's more of an issue when it's like in the spring. It's more of an issue than, in other words, you're doing your job today. So, you know, well done, tip the cap. But yeah, press conferences aren't going to win or lose, but it was easy. And that was the whole problem with the original aspect of it. It was easy. And that's why there was a problem, because it was a layup and he didn't make the layup.
Right.
And I'm sure Jeffrey talked to him. I'm sure Howie talked to him. I'm sure Nick talked to him, and he made the correction, and that's fine. That's a good thing.
Good stuff from Jalen Hurts. John, anything else in the press conferences before we move on to what they did on the field today that you feel the need to talk about? Anything else that stood out to you from anybody that spoke today in their press conferences that's worth talking about here on Birds 365?
Poor Saquon had to deal with all the hard knocks stuff. So he's probably glad to get that page turned finally. And he showed some signs today. So that was and the fans who were there, there's a small amount of fans let in each day. They were very excited when Saquon Barkley touched the football. So you can see how fired up the fan base is to get him. And he showed some things today. And, you know, the offense wasn't great in the spring. We talked about it a lot. It was a lot better today. And maybe that's just the reason, but he showed some of the juice that you expect. And, Even showed some of that impact that Howie Roseman was talking about. The Eagles, you know, baked an option to him. Everybody went to Barkley on the defense, and Jalen Hurts was left by himself for a big, big run. So that's something that's not going to show up on the stat sheet if it's in a game. But that's where I've talked about it on the show. Can he have an impact? Can he help the offense? It's just one play in July. But you can see if other teams, if other defenses are concerned about Saquon Barkley, then maybe it opens up some other things, or in this case, the quarterback or other players. But yeah, a lot of positive signs for really the first time with Saquon Barkley. So, and the fans got to, maybe that was part of it as well. Maybe he was hyped up because the fans were there.
Yeah, good stuff. Let's go to the on-field stuff. Johnny Mac, we'll start with the offense before we get into some of the specific players and some of the things we saw. What did you see from the offense today? You just kind of mentioned that it looked good with Saquon Barkley, but you know, we only get to see a little bit of the footage, John. As you know, you watched the whole practice. What did you see in the practice? What stood out to you? Any good plays, any good players, anything you can clue us in on? Take us inside the practice today, Johnny Mac.
I do think, you know, this was more of an offensive day than a defensive day. The biggest play was a Jalen Hurts 35-yard touchdown pass to Dallas Goedert. You know, it's interesting. I remember talking about the spring. Dallas Goedert's looked great, and he looked great in the spring, and he was always open. And I remember talking on the show, I'm like, all right, if you hit one or two of these throws, there's a whole different narrative. And today he hit the throw. And, you know, Kaylee Ringo was trailing in coverage. CJ was getting over late. And he had that window, and Dallas is open, and boom, you have a touchdown. Now all of a sudden it's all positive. Where if he made, there's at least three times I could remember where Dallas was open for big plays down the field and he just missed them. So that's the razor thin margin of error you have in the NFL. You hit those throws, you look like $1 million. You don't, you look bad, and people keep talking about it. Today it was much, much sharper. I mentioned Saquon getting involved a little bit more for the first time, really. So that's a positive. And Paris Campbell was tremendous. He was eating the young cornerbacks lunch with these comeback routes. So that's a positive.
Yeah, apparently Hurts was going to him a lot, right?
Yeah, and he had these violent comeback routes where he would just stop on a dime and lose the corners and come back to the football. So, you know, it's one day. Hopefully he can do that consistently. If he does that consistently, I mean, the wide receiver three competition we keep talking about is not going to be a competition.
Got to be Paris Campbell. I thought it was interesting too. With the comments from Howie and Nick this morning when asked about that position, you know, I thought their answers were interesting. Like, hey, we like the guys we brought in, but we're going to be watching. Yeah. And I thought that was a good thing. Like, hey, we know that we could potentially upgrade, and we're going to do it if we feel the need to. But Paris Campbell puts up good performance. Great to hear.
Yeah, if he keeps playing like that, they're not going to have to worry about it. But you know, he's got 5 years and consistency hasn't been the hallmark. So, you know, we're right back out there tomorrow. So we'll see if he can back it up and be that from day to day to day. But yeah, Howie was very honest about wide receiver and basically said, you know, we're going to be looking at that, what I just said, on a daily basis. And if it's not looking like we want it to look, they're probably going to go outside the organization.
Yeah, maybe they won't need to with Paris Campbell stepping up. Johnny Mac, I want to ask you specifically about the quarterback, Jalen Hurts, on the field today. I know we can't make much of the training camp stats and all that BS. I don't want to go down that road. But, you know, Hurts, by all accounts, wasn't as sharp in the OTAs. Some fans were concerned about it. I don't think there's a reason to be concerned about spring football and summer football, but how did Jalen Hurts look out there today? From what I read, from what I was able to consume, it seemed like Hurts was much more sharp, concise, getting the ball out on time and on target. What did you see from QB1 today down at NovaCare?
Yeah, as a whole, yeah, much sharper than he was in the spring. And maybe that's just getting more comfortable with the offense, you know. 6 weeks away, he mentioned he's been studying it, getting more familiar. So that's part of it. But, yeah, he was just much – I talked about it, you know. Dallas Goedert throws alone. I mean, missed him three times. Typical throws he's going to make. Today he made it. And it looks better, and people are talking about it. I did notice there wasn't as much underneath stuff as well over the middle. So maybe Kellen Moore's getting away from that. The stuff that Jalen's not as comfortable with. So you see this evolution. And again, it's one day. Maybe we come back tomorrow and he throws that at him again.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today.
You don't know, but overall, it was a positive day for the offense. If you're gonna do that goofy game, which we do, you know, the offense won the day over the defense, and the defense was winning pretty consistently in the spring, pretty consistently.
So a good sign there as the offense gets a win. John, we're 26 minutes in. I want to just do kind of an overall recap. So we'll get into the defense, but just real quick, did you see anything from the rookie wide receivers, Anaya Smith and Johnny Wilson today? Anything from them and first team, or any good reps for either of those guys?
No, they're mainly deep, you know, second, third team guys. Yeah.
Well, a lot of people have talked about Anaya as a slot player. I didn't know if maybe the Eagles thought
they did a little sort of gimmick play to Anaya Smith that looked like it may have worked. It's tough to say, you know, you're blowing things dead when tacklers get near him. But, yeah, you could see them trying to, you know, he's going to be here. So it's one of those things where can you take advantage of him in a situational way? But I imagine as things get deeper, that's, you know, what the Eagles do. They generally start out rookies very slowly, and if they start playing well and doing well in their reps, they'll give them more second team looks and things like that. So I imagine you'll see Johnny and Anais get some opportunities as we get later in the camp, because they're all also going to be very cautious with any, you know, if Devontae tweaks something or AJ tweaks something, they're going to hold those guys out. So there'll be opportunities, but there wasn't many today, certainly. And they're not going to get much work with Jalen Hurts. The Eagles don't do it that way. You know, that's going to be AJ and Devontae and Paris Campbell. So, but yeah, they'll get more work as things go deeper into camp.
One more question on offense here on the overall preview before we dive a little bit deeper later on in the show in an hour number two. Special edition. I want to thank everybody for being here tonight. Good crowd, Johnny Mac, for our nighttime edition of Birds 365.
First one ever.
Yeah, first one ever on a nighttime edition. So we thank you all for being here. Make sure you guys hit the like, as it's the best thing you can do to help us grow. We appreciate your guys' support all offseason long, and now we officially reached training camp. So good stuff. Johnny Mac, a lot was made of, on at least on Twitter and from the people who were down there, a lot of motion on offense, a lot of pre-snap motion. Everybody's excited about it. What did you see from the pre-snap motion? Was that a positive thing, or are we making a little bit too much of it?
Well, yeah. I mean, people make too much of it, but it's part of what Kellen does, and Kellen likes it.
We were bottom five in the league last year, John. We've talked about it a lot, so I think it's a good thing, you know?
Well, it's going to be a part of the offense. You don't have to worry about that. It's a foundational philosophy of Kellen Moore, but they won 29 out of 32 with no motion. So that's all I'll say about that. Well, I mean, look, it's about execution. And to his credit, Kellen said that himself. He talked about, you know, what's the most important thing. And I think everybody who asked him that question wants to hear something like that, like motion or the, and he said clean operation, because he's a good coach and he understands. But, you know, coaches get, and I asked him the question in the spring, you know, about his use of motion, and he said, look, my dad did it when he was young, and his college coach did it, and he likes it. So that's how kind of everybody morphs into what they are, and he likes it. So it's going to be a part of the offense. Is it going to be automatically successful? Well, think about all the teams that ran more motion than the Eagles that weren't as successful as the Eagles. Motion does not guarantee success. So I think this assumption that, oh, the Eagles are going to be great because they're running more motion, I mean, that to me is silly.
I mean, no, but I think it's a good sign when you have this much talent on the offense and, you know, you have a coordinator who comes in and at least you see something different. You know, you see that maybe he's going to be able to incorporate some of this talent well, and do it properly. And I think that's a good sign, at least from it. I get what you're saying.
If you do it properly, and you do it and you execute it correctly, but if you're motioning for motioning's sake, it's not going to help you. No, it's not going to help you at all.
I don't know about that. I mean, it didn't look good last year down the stretch. No motion, no difference in the offense. A lot of, you know, I mean, look, you can say it wasn't predictable last year. The whole league said it was predictable. Everybody said it was predictable. It didn't work last year down the stretch.
Not the whole league.
Christian McCaffrey called out the play on the live telecast.
Christian McCaffrey can call out everybody's play on every team in the NFL.
All right. I'm just saying the results.
By the way, a former teammate of Christian McCaffrey, Luke Kuechly could call out every play, every single play. On as one of the best middle linebackers in football, should be a Hall of Famer. Guys know plays. Guys, smart linebackers know what's being run. Execution. I know it's boring to people. Everybody knew what was coming with the Emmitt Smith Cowboys. Everybody knew. Couldn't stop it.
No, I get it. I definitely see what you're saying, no doubt about it. But I just think that motion is a good thing to have in your offense. I think it gives you the chance to create mismatches. It creates confusion on the defense. It gives them more to think about. But I mean, I get what you're saying. It doesn't matter if you don't execute, but I think overall it's a good thing to have in the offense.
The best stretch of Eagles football in history, they didn't use motion.
Were they bottom five in that stretch?
Bottom five. The best stretch in Philadelphia Eagles history. History. And they've been around for 91 years.
Well, on the same breath, though, the worst collapse in Eagles history also saw no motion.
So which is correct?
Well, the league maybe adjusted like they do consistently in this league where you have to adjust and get better and make changes.
Why do you have to adjust and no motion?
No, I'm saying that when they were 29 of 32 with no motion, but they also then struggled with no motion. So was it an overcorrection by the Eagles, or did the league figure out how to create a game plan to stop the Eagles offense? And now they're changing it up to answer the correction.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's a better thing when you have a bad football team and you're trying to scheme people open, which generally works in short bursts before teams adjust and shut it down.
Kyle Shanahan would disagree with that.
And you don't have the talent for it. Well, Sean McVay is the guy. And I say this all the time when it comes to motion in the NFL. And he literally calls it the illusion of complexity. Literally calls it that. I don't call it that. He calls it that. What all he's trying to do is test the discipline of the defense. And a lot of times with young defenders, it'll work because they don't have discipline. With veteran guys who know what they're doing, it doesn't bother them. But I mean, people want to make it this cure-all. I'm just saying it ain't a cure-all. They're not.
I get what you're saying. You're not saying, okay, they ran motion. Now they're going to be the greatest offense in the NFL. I get it. Yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
They're not going to win football games because they run motion. And Kellen Moore would be the first to tell you that.
No,
and that's why I said clean operation. Don't get behind the sticks. Do all the things that are boring. And then, you know, he's comfortable with it. It's like, you know, Nick got into the no motion thing. I tell the story all the time because Phillip Rivers didn't like it. And Phillip Rivers preferred just to get his information by formational tricks. And, you know, maybe that's not fair to expect Jalen Hurts to be Phillip Rivers. But he had more success doing it than Phillip Rivers ever did. So you can look at it both ways, at least from a team perspective. I just think it's become this shiny bauble that people hang on to and think it's some kind of correction, where the correction is teaching the quarterback how to handle a blitz. That's what's going to win you football games. That's what's going to win you football games.
Fair perspective. I think you're leaving out potentially some of the advantages of having that when you have an eighth-ranked offense in the NFL and it lacked all that motion. You know, you're giving yourself a chance to be better. Kenneth P. in the chat, he's right. He points out Eagles had veterans at cornerback get cooked by motion, and that was in the Super Bowl. And that he's correct. Darius Slay was so far out of position, he wasn't even in a 10-yard radius of a receiver in the Super Bowl because of motion. So I'm just saying that I think overall it's a good thing to add to an offense.
Yeah, that's Andy, and Andy Reid won two Super Bowls on his corn dog play.
Yeah, that goes to the point.
But when I joke about that, because I joke about it for Andy, people are talking about one play in a big city. It's a big situation. But if you run corn dog, again, what Andy calls it, if you run that 20 times a game, it's not going to be successful.
My only point is having it in your toolkit is a good thing. That's all.
But that's what I mean. People look at it as the Chiefs did it and won the Super Bowl. Well, yeah. And Darius Slay is a veteran quarterback and he blew a coverage. There's so many things that factor into that. Number one is, well, if you're playing man, it's not going to be as big as an issue because you're not going to screw up. So you have this big Fangio in that, you know, at that time, tinted defense. They were copying Vic. And I talk about it all the time, how complicated it is and how important communication is. So when you talk about Slay, there's like three, four guys screwing up and not doing what they're supposed to be doing, which factors in you know, which factors into it as well. But all I'm trying to say is they had tremendous success being bottom five in motion.
Yeah,
more success than they've ever had in the history of the Philadelphia Eagles. And the assumption is that they're going to fix this shit because they're throwing some motion in there, which Jim Schwartz calls eyewash and eye freaking candy, because that's all it is. You're trying to fool people. You're not trying to beat people.
Well, maybe that'll help the offense, John. Maybe we need to fool more people because nobody was fooled down the stretch last year. Wait, all I'm saying, you agree. Motion is not a bad thing, right?
It's not a bad thing. It's not a good thing. It's a thing.
Okay, that's fair.
It's a thing to test the discipline of the defense. And if you have an undisciplined defense, keep running it. If these morons can't, you know, keep up, keep running it. If they can, it's a waste of time. Now, also the quarterback part of it. You know, in a static world, let's call the Eagles offense a static world last year, Jalen Hurts struggled to handle the blitz. In a non-static world, is he going to be better against the blitz? Potentially. But it's going to have nothing to do with the motion. It's going to have to do with Kellen Moore and Doug Nussmeier and Nick Sirianni and anybody else who's involved getting him properly prepared in between game days to do what he needs to do. That will improve the Eagles' offense. The blitz is coming because they saw what it did to him last year, and they will not let up until you prove you can deal with it.
Well, I understand what you're saying. That's the bottom line. I get what you're saying. I do think, you know, back to the motion point though, I think it could help when you have a team that wants to bring the blitz. Okay. Now they have more stuff to think about, whether it's eye candy or not, at least it's there. And I know the execution matters.
I encourage
plays a part in being better.
That's probably on YouTube. Everybody search Luke Kuechly for old NFL Tim's of him just calling out plays left and right. Knows every stinking play before they run it. And he's a Hall of Fame level player, but even when he knew every stinking play, he didn't stop every stinking play. Because if you execute it from an offensive perspective, as everyone would say that played the early 90 Cowboys, and Jimmy Johnson admits they had three running plays. And by the way, the Eagles, you know, inside zone, outside zone. Go stop it.
Moving on, John, let's go to the defense. What'd you see from the defense today? A lot was made of, you know, the different rotations. Seemed like there was a lot of rotation between guys on the first team. I thought it was interesting that Isaiah Rogers had the first crack at cornerback opposite Darius Slay. I thought that was interesting. What did you make of the defense today in your first look at the training camp of 2024?
Yeah, they're going to do a lot of rotating, it seems, at corner and linebacker. And try to figure out what their best solutions are. Vic seemed to be throwing out a base defense against the run, which was Slay, Rogers, Maddox, Devin White, Zach Bond, which was interesting to me because two of those players are not regarded as good run defenders. And then he seemed to be throwing out a more pass centric defense where it was Slay, Maddox, Kelly Ringo, and Devin White and N'Kobe Dean together. So it was interesting, but he said in the past he likes to throw a lot at the team and see what they can pick up and see what they can handle, and then he'll scale back when it's time to scale back. So I think he's doing all that and he's throwing it. Quinion Mitchell, man, they played him at left corner. He got most of his work as Slay's backup at left corner. He was in the slot. He was at right corner towards the end of practice. They moved him over there. He's been at dime linebacker in the spring. They are throwing a lot at Quinyon Mitchell.
How's he handling it, John, from your perspective?
Seems to be handling it all pretty well. It doesn't seem like a fish out of water. The defense didn't make many plays today. The most noticeable would have been Zach Bond had a nice pass breakup on a seam route to CJ Uzama. And that was a Kenny Pickett throw. Not a lot of plays from the defense today. But Quinyon does not look out of place. He does not look overwhelmed at all. And they're throwing a lot at him.
That's a very good sign, though. Very good sign that it doesn't seem like a fish out of water when they're considering they're moving him to left side, right side, slot, linebacker. I mean,
he didn't play linebacker today, but he
said in the spring, right? In the spring, he was at linebacker. Yeah.
He played all three corner positions today, which is pretty impressive. And maybe part of that is because Cooper's out. But even so, yeah, I'm still on my Quinyon Mitchell's going to be a day one starter. We'll see how it shakes out. It's one day. But, yeah, Ringo, who I'm also high on, did not play as well today. So I'd say of the three, Mitchell was the best. Rogers was number two. And then Kaylee Ringo, number three.
Dang, disappointing. I have Keeley as the starter, so just a little biased.
It's one day. It's one day.
I'm just having fun with it. I like Keeley Ringo, so hopefully he has a good rest of the training camp coming in here. John, let's go to the defensive line. I'm gonna get to a commercial break. Just finish up our overall wrap, and then we'll dive into some deeper topics. I want to ask you about the Cooper DeJean effect on the back end, what that might mean for the roster and who they keep around or don't keep around. So we'll ask you about that later on in the show in hour number two here. We'll be live till 8 p.m. tonight. So thanks everybody for being here. John, let's go to that defensive line. What did you see on the defensive line? I read, one thing, I forget who it was. Shoot, I'd like to give him credit. Let me see if I can really quickly just pull it up. It was one of your beat reporters who was down there at the practice who was watching. Let me see if I can really quickly just grab that. EJ Smith was down there. And was it EJ Smith? Maybe it was John. No, Johnny Clark. Sorry, I had EJ too, but it was Johnny Clark. But he says, Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter lining up with Milton Williams, Josh Sweat and Bryce Huff on the outside, Nolan Smith and Brandon Graham rotating in on the outside. Johnny Mack, that sounds like a pretty good defensive front to me. Break down what you saw from the defensive line. And then also
people starting to figure out that 50 front. Yeah. John Clark.
Yeah, they are
trying to figure it out. Yeah. That's
I think your masterclass, Johnny Mack, helped a lot more people than you're thinking. That thing got a lot of views. I think people are watching that, learning about this defense.
Yeah. That's their base front run, essentially front first and 10. Typically they're going to be in that 50 front, which is, tight or tough. And Jordan Davis is the nose tackle. You got two 4-eye techniques, and that's Jalen Carter and Milton Williams. And then the two edge players, which are going to be Bryce Hopp and Josh Sweat the majority of the time. So that's kind of those 50 fronts. But bottom line is they're going to be in 40 fronts, four-man fronts, more than 50. So that's probably more important how they handle that. And that's still to be seen. How are you going to line up on third and five versus third and 13? If it's third and 13, you just get your best pass rushers on the field. If it's third and five, that's probably where you need a little bit more from Jordan Davis to being able to stay on the field and create not necessarily a great pass rush, but certainly where you want to see a push from the in the pocket, make the quarterback uncomfortable and maybe make things a little bit easier. Jalen Carter's going to be out there. Bryce Huff's going to be out there. And, Josh Sweat's going to be out there. So it's really the fourth guy. Could be Milton, could be Jordan, Could even use a NASCAR package and get an extra edge rusher, play them inside. You could play Brandon Graham inside. So that, to me, is going to be the more interesting part of it.
Yeah, we'll see how that shakes out. Pretty good, though, from the 50 front standpoint, as you mentioned. People are starting to pick up on that, Johnny Mac, thanks to you educating all the people on YouTube and all the people who listen to Birds 365, and there are quite a bit of them. Johnny Mac, we'll get to our first break. A couple more deep questions I want to ask you. We'll get into what else went down at day one of training camp. By all accounts, it seems like it was a pretty good day in Eagle Land. They answered the questions of the offseason that were lingering. I thought they put that to bed pretty quickly. Good job by them on managing that situation. And on field, seems like things went pretty well to start too. So we'll take our first commercial break. I want to thank everybody for being here. James Carver, Twiz the Jiggas, Scott, Jeff Martin, Gerald, Richard Nutinski, William Crowley, Scott, all sorts of good people in here tonight. Chuck Hutton, thank you, Eduardo Reza, anybody I missed. I didn't mean to miss you, but if I did, I apologize. Stay tuned, everybody. Birds 365 will be right back on a special nighttime edition of the show.
If you missed any of today's show on the Jacob Media channel, listen to the podcast on your way home. Available on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.